No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. Now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Hold it, man. He's not bluffing.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.
Number one, time is running out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Good morning, Las Vegas, and all throughout the state of Nevada and Southern California. This isn't Kevin. You know that by now. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live out of Las Vegas, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. It looks like I stirred the pot a little bit, kicked the hornet's nest. I like that. That's what I pulled the pin, threw the grenade. Because I want you folks, you voters, you citizens, to take action. And if you get angry, you take action. And it's good action. It's not violence. It's your voice. It's making a phone call. It's writing a letter. It's calling into the station. And I haven't even announced what our phone number is because I wasn't going to take any calls till about the 11 o'clock hour. But I might take some calls with Lenny. So what I'll do is I'm going to give you the toll-free number, 844-2-NEVADA, 844-2-NEVADA. And we're going to take a caller right now because he is a voter and he has a question about voting, and his name is John. So, hey, John, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Megan. I called the Secretary of State a few minutes ago, the Elections Department, you know, press 7. And
everyone
the girl there,
press 7. Sorry, but
yeah.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, otherwise you got to wait to listen through all the 1 through 6. But anyway,
okay,
so
good to know.
She told me they would like to have, I asked her the question, is it legal for an illegal immigrant to register people to vote in the state of Nevada? And she said, well, what's the proof of that? I brought up, I didn't memorize the girl's name, so I brought up the girl that Harry Reid's friend that does the immigration bit. So I brought that up. I said I'd get back to her with proof, and she directed me to the Elections Division email. I don't have it in front of me, but it's on the Secretary of State contact form. You just scroll down and you can find that. So she asked me to send it in an email with proof or whatever if I wanted the Secretary of State to address it. I want to add one thing. I'm on jury duty, and I brought this up with her too. And my first day, the selection day was, well, I'm not going to say exactly what day it was yet, but there was a lot of people there here in Las Vegas for the Clark County District 8 court. And when I was there, a guy got turned away because he was an illegal immigrant. And so I'm trying to figure out how, and I didn't, I'm in jury duty. I don't want to take pictures or anything like that and freak anybody out. So I didn't do anything, but I'm sure there was other people there that heard it. I was in the back row. So I'm wondering, how do you get your jury duty summons? Is it through the registering to vote, because that would implicate, you know, that they are letting illegals vote. So in any case, I'm sure other people could back that up. I don't have any, you know, I don't have any photographic or recorded evidence of that.
Yeah.
But they did turn a guy away.
Well, a couple things. Number one, the illegal immigrant DACA activist that is very active in this state that was tapped by the Hillary campaign to get out the vote in Nevada. Now, whether or not she was, you know, signing the forms and helping her fellow brethren, her illegal brethren, you know, register to vote, I don't know. However, I have screenshots of her entire Twitter feed. I have, her name is Astrid Silva. Write it down. A-S-T-R-I-D. Last name, Silva. S-I-L-V-A. Astrid Silva. You could Google her. She's pretty much famous.
Yeah.
Okay? So
What's her at Twitter?
At... I'd have to look
it
up.
Okay, that's all right.
It's at Astrid LV or something like that. I mean, if you go back to last summer, as they were doing these huge, you know, taco trucks on every corner, she was out there active. They were busing people in from LA, which is another oddity because the Secretary of State knows that the buses were coming in from California and supposedly just getting out the vote and helping people register to vote. So this isn't like anything new. I mean, you can find this in the LA Times. You can find it in the USA Today. You can find it in national news if you Google it. So if they want proof, how about Google?
Okay, well, here was what I mentioned to the call screener guy. If somebody,
Jameson.
I'm mobile and working right now.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, his name is Jameson. Just go ahead.
yeah, okay. So if you could put together maybe some of those screen caps that you have and some links and some information into just a general form that people could copy and paste into their email to send to the Secretary of State. That way, you know, you could get a lot more people on board. And I plan on doing something similar to that myself, but I can't do it right now. I'm busy. But
No problem. Well, so anyway. I thank you for making that phone call, and that's exactly what we need. We need to duplicate you by like 1,000. So I appreciate your call, John, and follow me on Twitter, at Reagan Babe, and I will make a form. I will put together a few bits of proof that you could use in your contact with the Elections Department. Oh, we dropped him. Okay. Thanks, Jameson. All right. So sitting next to me very patiently and smiling is Lenny Davis. And for those of you who may not know, Lenny reached out to me after hearing I had a few thousand envelopes from Assembly District 15 that was returned mail, returned campaign mail, first class mail. And why this was important is because most campaign mail is sent bulk rate, which means that the candidate never gets the returned mail. The bulk rate mail goes directly back to the post office along with the sample ballots that can't be delivered. If the mail cannot be delivered due to lack of parcel, no address, deceased, or unknown, you know, address, whatever the case may be. So bulk mail goes back to the post office. First mail gets returned to the person or the sender. Well, that would be Stan Vaughn in Assembly District 15. And I'm quite tired of the smear campaign from fellow Republicans against a Republican candidate, especially since those that are smearing Stan Vaughn know absolutely zero about the investigation. Because I don't remember any of you smear merchants being in the same room with Lenny and I and others from D.C. and Texas and from all over this country looking into Assembly District 15. So I'd appreciate if you'd stop the smear campaign and really kind of do something to ensure the integrity of our elections so we don't keep losing them. So with that said, I have Lenny Davis. Hi, Lenny.
Yeah, good morning. Can I talk now? I'm scared. You scare me.
Good. I want the right people to be scared because I'm quite tired of the wrong people getting in the way of trying to verify, number one, Stan's district, and two, shine a light on the massive amount of fraud that actually Stan was helpful in uncovering. Just so the voters know, Lenny heard me on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said, look, I've got, you know, a few thousand envelopes, and now I've got a PDF file from Joe Gloria of the Elections Division, the Registrar's Office, that I can't manipulate because he put all of the voters by first name alphabetized into a PDF file, and I'm supposed to compare that to envelopes. Yeah, thanks, Joe. But we got through that with your help, and you offered to help.
Yes.
And you and your assistant put in a few days of work.
We put in several days of work.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you created an investigative brief. And just so people know, you've got over 30 years in the federal law enforcement and investigations, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I'm a retired special agent with U.S. Customs and Department of Homeland Security. I'm also a trainer for the U.S. State Department in anti-terrorism, and I am a licensed private investigator. My firm is a licensed private investigations and security company here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so you're no chump. It's not like you're just some, you know,
I've had a day or two that I've done an investigation.
Yeah, right? So you were helpful in putting together an investigative brief that you had done throughout your 30 years and beyond So you know how to put together investigative briefs. And basically, these investigative briefs are lead sheets. Now, being from a sales background, that tells me that there's a lot of good stuff in a lead sheet.
Yeah, and I put that together. It was a report of investigation, but because, you know, we talked to the one witness from the post office,
a whistleblower.
A whistleblower. We spoke with him. I interviewed him. He told me there was three or four others that had seen the same activity going on in the post office. And I said, okay. And at that point, what we wanted to do was get it into the hands of law enforcement, because I didn't want to taint the investigation going on as a private investigator when I know, hey, look, this is something that law enforcement, specifically the FBI and possibly the postal inspectors, need to take a look at.
Right.
So, but what I did was I generated this report, and we gave it to the FBI along with the nearly 3,000 envelopes. And so we gave that to them, and that's why we've been very quiet the last several months, because we did not want to at all taint that investigation.
Now, the investigation is, quote-unquote investigation is, quote-unquote, over.
The quote-unquote investigation is, quote-unquote, over. Yes, the agents came to my office last week and gave us the almost 3,000 envelopes back.
And before we go to break, we've got just about 20 seconds. Can you say that you believe that there was an FBI investigation opened?
I don't believe so. I didn't see anything that looked like that.
And with that, we'll talk more about the unopened FBI investigation into AD 15 and tell you exactly what we found in our own independent investigation. This is Megan Barth and Lenny Davis coming at you live out of Las Vegas. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rock. That's my kind of music. This is Megan Barr at TheReaganBabe.com. Hope that woke you up. Hope I woke you up about an hour and a half ago, especially because we've been talking about voter fraud and voter registration fraud and illegal aliens either voting or registering people to vote. I mean, it's just one big corruption after another. And so that's why I got Lenny Davis in studio with me live out of Las Vegas. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, all throughout the state of Nevada and in Southern California. And for those folks listening in Southern California, you know what voter fraud looks like. You know what illegal aliens voting looks like, because that's what's happening in your state. Ask, I think it's Kevin Padilla, or is it Avila? I don't remember which one. Your Secretary of State, when's the last time they cleaned up their voter rolls? And if Nevada isn't checking for citizenship based on voter registration, I can sure as hell guarantee you that California is not. But I want to get back to Lenny really quick, because he put together the investigative brief or the report. And we had whistleblowers come from the post office, one specifically, and I interviewed him on the radio, and I do have that clip not with us today, but we'll replay it sooner or later so you can hear what he has to say. But Lenny interviewed him in person, and at that time, I was there during that interview, and he said that there were other whistleblowers that were willing to come forward, but it always takes one person, right? I mean, Lenny, you've done investigations for a long time. One person is all it takes, really.
Well, you have to have a starting point.
Right.
And, you know, you either have a victim of a crime or you have somebody reporting, you know, that observed it, you know, and that's basically what he did. And one of the things that we, you know, as you know, we interviewed him about was the fact that there were the sample ballots going out to in the mail, and then they were coming back because the people were not there or whatever. And under postal regulations, those have to be handled completely different when they're returned, because as anyone here in Nevada knows, that basically with the barcode off the front of the sample ballot, that's really about all that they...
It's your ticket.
It's your,
the sample ballot is your ticket to vote.
It's your golden ticket, as it's been referred to. Mm-hmm. And so these golden tickets were going back to the post office, but they didn't know what happened to them after that. There was some information that they were throwing them away. There was some information they were going into a bin, but we don't know what happened to the bin. So that was one of the things that I reported.
And that was a change in procedure. He specifically
That's correct.
He specifically said that there has always been a procedure, which you can look it up online. I think it's, you know, procedure 492 or something like that under the how they handle election mail. It's very specific. It has to be inventoried. It has to be tagged and it has to be stored. And it has to be stored, I think, up to 2 years, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
nonetheless, there's a very specific procedure. Well, that procedure changed 2 weeks into early voting. That is what our whistleblower told us. Now, I don't think it was a federal change. It might have just been a office change.
Yeah,
right?
it wasn't postal-wide.
Right.
But it may have been in that particular station. And, of course, this source told us, and when we interviewed him, that there was three or four other postal carriers at that office that had seen the same thing. And so we had talked, you know, you and I had both talked about it before, and we were talking about whether or not, I should go out and contact them, because he was going to put me in contact with them. But then I made that decision because at that time I had a lot of faith in the FBI doing the right thing. And so I said, you know, I don't want to taint that. And when I had the meeting with the agents and I gave them my report, I told them, I said, look, you know, they asked me, did I go out and interview these guys? And I said, no, I didn't. I didn't want to, because I didn't want to get any deeper into it and have anybody say that I tainted this investigation whatsoever. I want you guys to go out, do your thing, and interview these people and make your own conclusions. So they agreed with that. I gave them my report. We found a whole, you know, my investigative assistant, Melissa Martinez, she was awesome. She helped us go through this.
She went through all those envelopes. She created a whole new spreadsheet. She went into, I mean, as fast as you guys did it, I it would have taken me 3 years.
Yeah. So we that was the thing. You know, you're always calling the mic your blowtorch of truth.
Yeah.
And then we were like, hey, well, let's give you a hand. And I talked to him, you know, our company is owned in Dallas, our home office is in Dallas. And I talked to my boss and he said, sure, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, he's been very supportive and helpful on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we found a lot of anomalies in this thing that I just couldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we have the golden tickets, the sample ballots, but we found, that a person who was 105 years old made it to the polls to vote.
Now, don't you think, folks listening, a 105-year-old voter got to the polls somehow? Wouldn't that make, like, national news? Or even statewide news, or even county news?
I mean, I would love to have been able to say, you know, 105 years old, number one, you know, and you're out there vote. What's your secret, you know?
So. Well, we have no more secrets. We can actually share what we've been holding close to our chest and close to our vest.
If we can remember it from,
Oh, come on now. I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, that music, that means we've got to take a break. But we'll be right back with more of our findings through Lenny Davis and the investigation into voter fraud in AD 15. Megan Barth, RegganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, phone in for Kevin Wall. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. We're coming at you live out of 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, all throughout the state of Nevada and in Southern California. And did I forget something, Lenny?
Oh, I don't know. Are you residing in a memory center?
Yeah, so outside of the 105, in case you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the massive amount of voter registration fraud and voter fraud that happened in the last election and in a small assembly district, perhaps in Assembly District 15, and about the investigation that we launched independently with Lenny Davis, who is a 31-year member of federal law enforcement, runs a private investigative firm, No slouch when it comes to this type of work.
I try to hold my end of the log up.
Right. So he put together this investigative brief based on the 3,000 envelopes that we had gotten returned through first class mail. We interviewed a post office worker who was a whistleblower who said that the procedure at the post office for the sample ballots had changed 2 weeks into early voting. In the envelopes and all of the names that were on these envelopes, we found a 105-year-old voter who actually walked to the polls. And what did I forget?
Well, we found, I believe it was 8 or 9 absentee ballots that were sent in from residents of a care center where they live because they have memory issues.
Yeah, dementia. It was dementia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you know, yesterday we found out at talking with our expert in Texas that unfortunately is not against the law. But I always wanted to know who filed those votes for those folks. If you don't know who you are, how are you going to vote?
Right.
You know, and like you said earlier, one vote is all it takes to win an election. So mm-hmm. What if, you know, who voted there? It wasn't the patients that were in.
If you are in that center, you are beyond your ability to take care of yourself because of your dementia.
Yes.
And so 8 people voted from the dementia center.
Yes.
Via absentee ballots.
Eight patients.
8 patients, rather.
Yes.
Yes. Very good.
So we thought that was that kind of jumped right out at us. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, geez, I don't know who I am, but I voted. And then we had one lady that voted twice. Mm-hmm. We saw that. We had several really big anomalies. We reported that to the FBI. The FBI came to the office, and the agents were very cordial, and we sat down, had a long meeting with them, told them what we had, and they said, well, we will look into it. We went to their office, gave them the envelopes, and they said, well, it's going to take us about 60 to 90 days to go through these.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds reasonable. Then I hear the inevitable crickets, and which I really, you and I had talked several times before that I never really expected them because it's an ongoing federal investigation, and even though I'm a former federal investigator, I'm not privy to that. I'm a citizen now, so I'm not privy to those, the information that they would dig up. We had a couple of phone calls from time to time, nothing big. And then about a week ago, Monday, I received a phone call from the case agent. And he said, hey, I wanted to make arrangements to bring these back. And so then he brought them back this past Monday, a week ago. And I was not in the office. He gave them to Melissa in our office, and she signed for them. When I got back and to the office, I noticed that it was something that really struck me funny was this was the inventory sheet. It was basically signing him over. It was the chain of custody, if you will. And it was only from them to us. And Melissa signed it. But at the top of the page, there is a blank there for file number. File number is the FBI's case number. That was blank. There was no case assigned to that we can tell. Now that's unusual. I mean, even when we looked, if we would have done that much investigative work that they were supposedly done over approximately 6 months, 7 months that they had this evidence, you would think that they would have been able to come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have to expend that kind of man hours. You have to justify it in the system. So you have to have a case number. Hey, what were you guys working on? And as far as I can tell, there does not. I don't believe they ever opened a case on it here in Las Vegas.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, I was shocked, to tell you the truth. And I guess maybe it's a little bit of, you know, I was hoping that the guys would be. You know, when I left the service, there was, you know, after my career, I, you know, always tried to make every effort I could to investigate, especially when somebody gave me this kind of lead, if you will. And, you know, I've referred to talking with you. I've referred to my report as a lead sheet because that's basically what it was.
Yeah, it was a bunch of leads.
You know, I mean, there was at least 3 or 4 other witnesses in the Postal Department that should have been, you know, virtually, they should have gone out and interviewed them. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, to date, they have not been ever contacted by the FBI or the postal inspectors.
But we do have a report from Joe Gloria based on his own investigation of the envelopes. Is that right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, I use that as, I don't have it with me because I put it at the bottom of my birdcage. But can you just explain to us what exactly Joe Gloria's position of the election department that doesn't check for the citizenship nor has any record of to be able to check for the citizenship of illegally registered voters? What was Joe's opinion?
Well, Joe's opinion was basically that there was no fraud in that everybody is, there's
going, everything's hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory, we use the honor system. And you were talking about, you know, the honor system, and I was like, you know, there's no honors and honor among thieves. And
that's right.
Who may have stolen an election? And we've got information that it at least bears out, it needs to be bared out and really investigated to see. Now, of course, time has passed. One of the things that I told you earlier is that had it been my investigation, I would have contacted the postal inspectors. They are the investigative arm of the Postal Department.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have gone into this postal station and pulled all of the surveillance video.
Right. And I remember because I was reading the procedure, and we were coming up to 6 months of, you know, beyond when we had turned over the thing. I'm like, well, you've got to get into the post office because they are going to, they only have to hold on to those tapes for like 6 or 7 months. There's the video footage.
Yeah, I don't even know if they hold it that long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, that's going to be, because every square inch of a postal facility inside and outside parking lots and everything else are under video surveillance. So if somebody would have came in and got those, you know, this bin that had these
sample ballot
golden tickets to votes and taken them somewhere, we would have had a lead on that. And there would have been video evidence. But I don't believe that was ever retrieved.
Right.
And I didn't obviously have the authority to go to the post office and say, look, I want to see your videos. Yeah, get away from me, old man. So, but no, I mean, that's the thing is I was shocked. That there were so many leads that were just not followed, that, you know, I pretty much gave them on a silver platter.
So where do we go from here? I mean, if we can't get this is what's interesting. The FBI, and I've asked this question before, especially when it came to the Las Vegas shooting, does anyone trust the FBI? Specifically after we watched James Comey read intent into an espionage statute the word intent never existed. It doesn't need to exist. We know that the FBI was politicized. It even paid for a Russian dossier. We have Andrew McCabe still at the second in line of the FBI. There is, you know, the snake always rots from the head down.
Well, and I want to add one more thing, that when we did give the envelopes over to the FBI, one of the agents did comment to me something to the effect of, well, you know, we work with Barbara Skaski and the Secretary of State's office, and they've been super helping us.
Okay, so Barbara Zagaski, let's go back to the Secretary of State's office. I guess someone just called, and they don't know me and, you know, never heard of me. Hopefully they're listening. They listen. Because when I just gave a speech to a small group about exactly what we're talking about here today in voter fraud, and all of a sudden the deputy wants to give a speech to the same group like a month later and tell them what a great job they're doing out of the Secretary. What authority does the Secretary of State have? Can she conduct this investigation even though the FBI doesn't want to?
I would hazard a guess to say that they could probably go to the Attorney General's office, because I'm not sure the Secretary of State has an investigative arm themselves, mm-hmm. but they certainly could go to the Attorney General's office here in Nevada and Adam Laxalt's office.
I'm telling you what, this is an election winner.
Oh, yeah.
If any candidate ran on cleaning up our voter rolls and ensuring that it is one person, one vote, one voice, and that we don't have illegal aliens voting, we don't have illegal aliens registering voters, we don't have the Culinary Union 226 with taco trucks on every corner registering voters and not checking for citizenship. If someone ran on the platform of restoring integrity to our election, it'd be a winner.
Well, look at the giant crack in, you know, the giant crack that everything seems to fall through between DMV records and the voter records.
Right.
You know, you know, the DMV says, well, we send that to the Secretary of State's office and Election Commission's office to check their status. And the Secretary of State says, well, we have no way to check it. So if they mark yes, that they are a citizen and they have a Nevada driver's license, which you can get as an illegal alien, you're probably going to get registered to vote.
Right. Can you stay with us one more segment?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take this break. We'll come back with Lenny. We're going to wrap up this conversation and tell you how you can get involved and perhaps be an agent of change here in Nevada, because that's what we need to do. This is Megan Barth and Lenny Davis coming at you live out of Las Vegas. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rock. Las Vegas and all throughout the state of Nevada, Southern California. Megan Barth here, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. You can find me at ReaganBabe.com, at ReaganBabe on Twitter. Excuse me, ReaganBabe.com, at ReaganBabe on Twitter, and at ReaganBabe on Facebook. All my writing and contributors are on my website. We're going to have my contributor, Katie Grimes, who is an investigative reporter out of Sacramento. She's going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. You aren't going to want to miss that either, because she is going to expose all of the sexual harassment going on in the Sacramento State Capitol, as well as our nation's capital, and how they are lawyering up. Because, like I said, the wall around the swamp is starting to get some cracks, and leaks are coming out of those cracks. And it's just a matter of time that we're going to expose all of those political perverts. It's just going to take some time. And speaking of perversion, let's go back to how illegal aliens are the foreigners that are truly interfering in our elections. And we've got a caller that I want to take, and then I'll be taking your calls as well. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-2-NEVADA, if you'd like anything to add to the conversation. Hey, Fred, line two.
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, people, 30,000 illegal women came over and had babies in California last year, okay? It was recorded. And they, when they get their food stamps and all that, they get a registration card to fill out for voting. Okay, so they're illegal and they're voting.
Absolutely.
That's just 30,000. Okay, and well, I got to say a couple things real quick because I know you didn't have that much time. Do you, okay, 25,500 people were murdered by illegals in the last 10 years, okay? More than both Gulf Wars, people died in America from illegals. Okay, 7,000 and change were raped. Another 7,000 were DUI killings. And then there was kidnapping, so another 7,000. You add it on, because you always have to just Google it. You ask about, you know, how many illegal aliens kill people, they'll tell you. 3 million, listen to this, 3,500,000 crimes in the last 10 years, which comes out to about 7,500 crimes a month, okay? And which includes murder, rape, kidnapping, DUI killings, okay? And also, I'll say this real quick, and also I was in the construction trade, and if they tell you they're not running the wages down, they're out of their mind, because I went from $30 an hour down to $10.
Well, I appreciate your... Was that all you wanted to say, Fred? Because we are running out of time.
Well, no, I want to say, I could say a lot more. There's so many things going on. It's incredible.
Well, you know, I don't know where you got those statistics. I'm not sure where you got those statistics, but I'll look into them. There's a really good information about statistics called FAIR. FAIR.org, I believe, is someplace that I usually go to get the latest statistics related to voting, related to crime, related to costs, etc. So I appreciate your call, Fred. This is an issue. But, you know, illegal immigration, it's just part of our nation's fabric. You know, this is about the diversity. And isn't this great for multiculturalism? I mean, this is about diversity and this is about multiculturalism. And don't you dare be a racist, right?
Heaven forbid.
And so in here we have, in Nevada, for example, we have schools called Zoom schools, and we spend $1 billion, that tax increase, the largest tax increase, basically went to Zoom schools to teach illegal immigrant children, which compromise about 40% of our school district, English, and they're failing miserably. And someone's going to talk about their campaign next, and that'd be Scott Hammond.
It's time for Nevada Voices. My name is Scott Hammond. I'm a husband, a father of four fantastic children, a man of faith, and a Republican candidate for Congress in Nevada's 3rd District. I first moved to Nevada 25 years ago to become a public school teacher and basketball coach, and I learned a few things along the way. First, I learned that my high school students could probably do a better job in Congress than the career politicians, and second, that the government unions will stop at nothing to get what they want. During my time in the legislature, I've led the fight to pass historic education reform, including ESAs, to empower parents and hold schools accountable for results. I sponsored a constitutional amendment to protect and strengthen Nevada's Second Amendment rights, and I've sponsored the bill to roll back Common Core and reform teacher tenure. I'm also proudly pro-life. For me, being pro-life isn't just a line on a piece of campaign literature. My wife and I believe that we can't just talk about it. We have to act. That's why we chose to adopt 3 of our 4 children. We passed job-creating tort reforms, we turned the budget deficit into a surplus, and improved Nevada's bond rating. We made an historic investment into the state's rainy day fund, and most importantly, we weakened the government unions, took on the status quo, and broke the backbone of Harry Reid's political machine. Now, I knew that taking on Harry Reid and his union allies was going to be tough. I didn't back down then, and I won't back down now. I believe those same forces of the status quo are ruining our country, and I want to take the fight to Washington. We can teach Washington insiders a lesson and send a conservative reformer to Congress from Nevada in 2018. I think we should send someone to D.C. who took on the professional politicians instead of joining them. I think we should send someone to D.C. who has courage, not someone chasing a fancy title. I already have all the titles I've ever wanted, husband and father. And that is why I ask for your vote for Congress.
And welcome back. We are going to wrap up this segment with Lenny really quick, just to give our listeners some peace of mind.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know, and as Megan knows, we're working with some people from the Election Integrity Commission in Washington, D.C., and I'm still continuing this investigation, and I'm going to go back and start interviewing some people that obviously didn't get interviewed before and need to be interviewed again, or should be interviewed for the first time, and so we're going to continue with this. So
good. Yeah, so this isn't over.
No.
Joe Gloria wants to think that this is over because he gave us the report, which is now lining the bottom of my birdcage. And speaking of Joe Gloria, let's go to line one. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Is this Megan?
My name's Tina Trevor. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Tina Trevor, and I ran for the Assembly in District 36. And I won my county. And Clark County had posted, interestingly enough, they had posted all of these names, addresses, and phone numbers of people in District 36 on District 19, and District 19 was posted in District 36. So my campaign people had downloaded all of the information from District 19, all my mailers, all my phone calls, everything went to District 19, but I was in District 36.
Well, that was an expensive mistake.
Oh, it was really cute. And it, at the very, just almost at the time of voting, I think it was maybe in April or May, they said, oh, we made a mistake. And Mr. Gloria explained that it was just nothing more than a mistake. But, of course, it cost me, I lost by 133 votes. And I lost in Clark County where I had the wrong phone numbers and wrong addresses. So it's very interesting how Mr. Gloria thinks everything's just wonderful. I took it to court, by the way, because it was, in my opinion, it was done. And I went to court, and the court was worse, really, dealing in the court was even worse. I was not allowed to, I represent myself, I was not allowed to call witnesses. They wouldn't listen to any of my information. It was just a done deal. And I was just...
Hey, Tina, hold on, and I want your contact information, and I want you to give it to Jameson, okay? Thanks so much for your... So don't go anywhere. Folks, don't you go anywhere either. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. We'll be right back with the great Katie Grimes. Hey, not get you too, but not a one bites the dust.